bed by about 8:30 because I am a person that requires a mass amount of rest, and when I don't get one, I'm ugly with folks. So if I've been ugly to you, I was probably tired, and I apologize. But anyhow, I just like to do things fun, and who likes to get free stuff? I do. Okay. So, sweetie, who do we got? We're going to give them a dish towel so they can do dishes.
Casey.
All right.
Which is hilarious.
It's hilarious because I don't think Casey cooks or does dishes. I'm kidding. That's my big sister. I can kid with her. All right. Now, who has ever been to the Dixie Stampede? They have to call it Dolly Parton Stampede now, excuse me. But their soup is delicious, and we went there a few months ago, and I said, I'm going to get some soup mixes for people to give away. So, Dwayne, you're going to have Sweet Tanisha over there make you some soup, honey. It's delicious. It's absolutely delicious. Now, who likes to grill hamburgers? Well, then I am expecting a hamburger from some of you people because we're not really the grilling type. But
what?
Michelle and Gary Schaefer, look here. We got you guys a special hamburger. It's a entire gummy burger. I saw those at the Cracker Barrel yesterday, and I was like, the big kid in me was like, oh, yes. Every adult needs a hamburger made up of gummies. Absolutely. All right, sweetie, let's keep going. Let's give away another dish towel. Who are we giving it to? Brenda McElhaney. Okay.
She's in the back with the kids.
We will save this. This is Brenda's. Let's do some more soup.
Huh?
Now, you can't peek in there.
I'm not.
Okay. Barbara, Miss Barbara, we've got you some soup. Do you prefer soup or a dish towel, Barbara? It doesn't matter. Barbara is one of my favorite folks. We love her. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for Barbara. God, only you know exactly what she needs. So, God, I ask right now for comfort and peace. Lord, I just thank you right now, God, that the best is yet to come, Lord. And you filled her with your joy, God, and your presence. Lord, and I thank you right now, God. Let her know what a blessing she is, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, let's keep going. I love getting free stuff. Let's give some of these. Now, we've got a new lady in church today, and actually, who's a kid? Look here. These shoes, these ain't walking shoes. Miss Haley, bring that honey back there to Miss Melina Helton. And we've got this lady here, those sweet boys that she was getting on to. This towel, you just whack them boys, boy, whenever they need a good whack. And that's what I do with mine. You just whack them. Show them who's the boss. And don't feel bad about it. Look here. Ain't nobody's kids act worse than mine. And so anyhow, Alvy and Melissa, soup. All right, Miss Natalie. I bet you can cook now. Can't you cook a little bit, Alvy? All right. And last but not least, a gummy hot dog. So don't say your pastor's never thought of you. Tierney, here you go, honey. All righty, and this gift basket, this is Miss Angel's. She has underwent a very massive surgery. And once again, we're going to put this card on her basket, by her basket. If you haven't signed it, I'm going to ask you to sign it. If you haven't prayed for her, I'm going to ask you to pray for her. In fact, we need to pray for her right now. So if you'd bow your heads. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for Angel. Lord, I thank you, God, right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, you said you needed a binder and you said you needed a looser. So, God, right now, in Jesus' name, I bind infirmity off of that body. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, wherever she's at in that house. Lord, I thank you that you've washed up in that house. God, I thank you that you've wrapped your arms around her. Lord, and I ask you right now, God, to give her a revelation. Lord, I ask that you'd help her to see, God, some things that perhaps she can't see right now. Lord, and I thank you that healing flows through that body in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask, God, the things that she needs to let down, God, I ask that you'd help her to lay them down, God, at your feet, to never pick them back up. And Lord, I thank you for every person, God, that's watching today, God, in their homes, for every person that's in this sanctuary right now. Lord, I ask that you'd fill them up with your presence, God, because in your presence is wholeness. In your presence, God, is joy. So, Lord, I invite you into this service right this very moment, and I tell you to have your way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I walked outside today, and the deacons were snickering, and they said, just exactly how old are you? And so, if anybody's wondering, I am the big 3-6 today. And I said, doesn't that make you feel old? And they said, nope, that means that you're catching up to us. And so I just thank God we've got the best deacons in the whole world. We really do. We had a switch that was out. I don't know. To me, all I know is the light wouldn't come on. And by golly, I looked at Brother Charlie and I said, Brother Charlie, is this a Charlie issue? Charlie, do you know anybody that can fix that? Brother Charlie, do you? And he of course, fixed it. And I tell you that, you know, the church is not just your pastors. Your pastors are just simply the people that God said, now y'all stand in the front. And so the church is all of y'all. We are the church. The four walls are not the church. We're the church. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. And so I thank God for each and every one of you. And so you guys help us be successful. You help the ministry go forward. And we're thankful for you today. And, you know, I'm not one of those pastors that, you know, on Easter a lot of times I don't speak about Easter because that's what everybody expects. And I get people twice a year that I don't get normal services, and that's Easter and Christmas. And Aunt Pat, I'm going to make the most of it. And so today is we're celebrating Memorial Day. I'm going to touch on it briefly, but the whole service will not be just specifically. But, you know, one of the things that comes to me when I think about Memorial Day is honor. And we've lost a lot of honor in our society. A lot of people think that everybody owes them something and they don't owe anybody anything. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm going to tell you as your pastor that is an absolute must is honor. Honor God. Honor Him with your life. Honor Him with your finances. Honor Him with your car. Honor Him with your life. Honor Him in your marriage. Honor Him in your relationships. Honor is the formula that you can't leave out when you're trying to have a good, productive life. If you want to be successful, you look at every successful person, and what you see is they have a sense of honor about them. And so today, you know, as you think about the Memorial Weekend that we're having, we need to think that, you know what, we owe those people honor. We owe to say, God, in Jesus' name, for every family that's hurting because they've lost somebody that gave their life for this country that we get to freely live in, God, I ask that you'd give that family peace. See, there's honor, and we have to have honor in our lives as believers. Let's go to John chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. And today I want to minister to you. How many of you like buffets? Every time I leave a buffet, I say, I'm never going back to a buffet again. And look here, I always go back. I always go back because there's something about a buffet that I like. And when the pandemic hit, I prayed so hard for all the buffets because I was like, Lord, this cannot be of you to take the buffets out of America. So God, please enlighten all these people that's running these buffets. Give them the wisdom, God, to know what to do to get them buffets up and running. Because I like options. Not too many, or I'll get overwhelmed, but I like a few options. And I like them chocolate fountains at the Golden Corral operating. Amen? And so This morning I want to talk about several things, but I want to kind of zero in. I want to talk about loving people because it's hard. How many of you know it's hard to love people? Okay, it is. And honor and respect, in a sense that when we wake up in the morning, we owe people and we owe God. And a couple weeks ago I got so busy, Jeremy, I feel so sorry for him sometimes because he has to put up with me. And there's not a big enough sorry in the world for myself sometimes. And he looks in, he goes, Kelly, have you forgotten something? And he asked me a lot of, like, rhetorical questions. And I'm like, I feel like you're about to tell me what I forgot, but there's nothing on my mind weighing on me. What did I forget? He goes, you forgot to pay our house payment. I said, really? And I was trying to prove him wrong every which way I could, and I couldn't find nothing that could say that I paid it, and it wasn't happening. I was wrong. That's on tape, and that's on video. That's probably the only time I'm going to admit that to Jeremy, but he's got it recorded. I was wrong about that house payment. I did forget that, and I got so busy that I had forgot to pay my own house payment. He said, woman, if you like living here, you better get your checkbook out. We better write that check and send it in. But, you know, there's things in our lives we don't need to forget who we owe. We don't need to forget who we owe. And when we wake up in the morning, I hope that you have that epiphany that you owe the living God. And so many people are so hung up on, well, God wants my 10%, and then he wants this. And let me just clear the air. God wants it all. He wants your life. He wants your very soul. And so when we wake up, we need to know that we owe God. What do we owe him? Every fiber of our being. Every breath that we take, we owe it to him. We owe it to him. And so in John chapter 15, we're going to start here at verse 11. And there's people throughout our lives that we owe. And when I married Pastor Jeremy, he always talked to me about his youth pastors, Brian and Melissa. And so I had always heard about these people, and I, you know, and so I've met them on numerous occasions now after being married almost 13 years, but that's one of the things, one of the groups of people that made Jeremy go into ministry because they had made such an impact on his life. And the weekend that we took the church over, that we became pastors here, we went up there for a little surprise birthday for his childhood youth pastor, and his name is Brian. And we told him, you know, we're pastoring now. And boy, I tell you what, I was the most naive person. I thought, we've been in ministry our whole lives. This is a piece of cake. This ain't going to be nothing. Let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you it's a big deal. And he got us huddled together, and he said, I'm going to tell you kids something. He said, don't overcomplicate this. All you got to do is you got to love people. You have to love them. And I thought, I know that. Let me tell you something. There have been many, many, many days where I've went right back to those words and I've just said, God, help me to love people. God, renew that inside of me. Because you know what? We're not taking anything out of this life but souls. We're not able to take our cars. We're not able to take anything else. We're taking souls, and that's it. And so in John chapter 15, verse 11, it says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Now, when we look at how we love people, have you ever been mad at somebody and given them the absolute cold shoulder silent treatment? I've done that. It doesn't work. It's not effective. Have you ever loved somebody conditionally? If you do this, then I'm going to be there for you. I think that we've all done that. What we have to do when we start really looking at how Christ has loved us, what we have to realize is it's an unconditional thing. It's an unconditional thing. And so when the Word says, love each other as I have loved you, we need to take a very big look at how has He loved us. When the Word says, forgive as I have forgiven you, how did He forgive you? How many of you ever just done something? You pray to God. Nobody ever finds out you done that thing. Amen. Look here, Alvie. God's forgiven me of a lot of stuff. And you know what? Some of the characteristics of that forgiveness is this right here. Melissa, He never brings them up. When I mess up, He never says, well, you did it again. See, we have to really be willing to imitate God because that's the only effective thing that we got going for us. See, He gave us the blueprint on how to love people. He gave us the blueprint on how to forgive them. And so it says here, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you, because greater love has no one than this, that he lay his life down for his friends. For his friends. Now, how many of you know that Jesus calls you friends? There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's a Savior that loves you when you're unlovable. There's somebody that cares so much about you that on your worst day, He's not rejecting you. He's not saying, oh, I don't know that person. He's still there taking us in. And so it is difficult to love people. I'm just looking around to see if we got any honest folks up in here. Can I get an amen? You have difficulty loving people sometimes? Do you have difficulty letting some things go sometimes? Amen. It's hard. Why? Because the devil would love to get you going. He would love to get you going. He knows what it takes to get you going. And it says here, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. How many of you know that you're chosen? How many of you know that God chooses you? He doesn't choose you only when you're looking great. He doesn't choose you when you're doing right. How many of you know that on your worst day, He still chose you? He still took you in. When you've made your worst mistakes in your life, He's not rejecting you. When you've messed up and you don't want to show your face in town because everybody knows your business and they know what you did and everybody's talking about it, look here. God is still God. He's still the one that says, you know what? I chose you. When you didn't choose me, I was still there. How many of you ever walked away from God? Amen. Look here. He's never walked away from you. He's never forsaken you. Look here. God loves you so much that He gave it all for you. And when He says, hey, I want you to love people as I've loved them, you know why? Because people can't feel our irritation as well as they can feel our love. Now look here. I'm a very irritable person. Do I have any other irritable people up in here? Anybody ever get your cheese off the cracker the wrong way and you're agitated? Okay, we're speaking the language now. All right, look here, Connor. When I get agitated, I can't act right. How many of you got an attitude problem when you get irritated? If I get hungry, I'm going to show out. By the way, I really showed out yesterday. I'm not proud of it. And I went to bed and I thought, God, I totally flip-flopped this day. Please, God, help me wake up and be better tomorrow. I just let Pastor Jer have it. And it really wasn't nothing about him at all. But I thought, I'm going to lay it all out there to Jeremy. I'm going to tell him just exactly how I feel about life right now. And so there I was, Dale, and I felt like my mouth, like a cartoon character. I opened my mouth, and the most ridiculous things kept coming out of it, and I couldn't shut it up. And then I had an epiphany a smoothie would make it better. I've never asked for a smoothie in the 13 years we've been married. But all of a sudden, I pulled that out of my rear and I was like, you must find me a smoothie, husband, and I need one right now. And he's like, he gets his phone out and he's all panicked. He's trying to look for the smoothie. And then I get up in the smoothie place, and they've irritated me because they're a bunch of kids, and they ain't making that smoothie fast enough. And I was thinking, what is wrong with the world today? These kids don't know how to make this smoothie. Ugh, everything's awful. And you get yourself going. You ever realize how you get yourself going? Then he checked out. He goes, I'm going to buy this smoothie for you, sweetie, because I had my wallet out. You know, you have these. Us women, we have our womanly moments where we're going to show them we can buy our own stuff because we've grown. He goes, baby, I'm going to get this. I said, okay. Then I started looking at the menu, and I thought, that bacon, turkey, ranch sandwich on the ciabatta roll is sounding good. This is going to help my attitude. I said, waitress, come over here. I need to talk to you again because I couldn't get one of them because they was all getting my first order, all four of them. I said, I need you back over here at this register. My man's going to buy me this turkey sandwich. So then I'm sitting there. I don't know if I was hungry or if I was legitimately in a bad mood. I have no idea. It all got blurry in that situation. And about halfway through that sandwich and the smoothie, and I was wearing it all over the place, and I am not a quiet eater. Y'all like to enjoy your food? I do. The louder I smack, the more I'm enjoying it. If I'm not smacking, I don't like it. I'm over there, and I'm eating this sandwich, and I looked over at him, and then I had tears in my eyes. Have you had those days where you've gotten on your own nerves? I thought, God, I'm about to have a real crazy moment because I'm eating this sandwich. I'm drinking this smoothie. I'm about to start crying. Ranch is going in places I didn't know I had. God, help me. Help me to get myself under control. See, the devil would love to get you all sorts of ways. But let's take all the nonsense and wipe it off the table, and let's narrow this in. Let's love some people. Let's love them. Every time I go out to eat, Alvy, look here. God lets a certain group of people come in there. Friday night, I took old sweet daddy poo out, and we was eating barbecue, and herein they walked. Again, Miss Melina. And I thought, God? I'm up here in Ozark because I didn't want to see them people walking in the store. And here I am, and here they are. Look here. Let me tell you something else. One time, I dated a guy, and I thought I was going to be mean to him how I broke up with him. Let me tell you single folks something. You best behave, and you best treat people how you'd like to be treated. Because God continued to work on me, and he made them folks my next-door neighbor for about 7 years. Let me tell you something. God will deal with you. God will deal with you. Jeremy goes, I don't know why that guy over there, our neighbor, ain't waving at us. And I thought, I've got a pretty good inkling. I said, oh, he's just busy with that yard work, honey. Don't worry about the neighbors. But look here. Love one another. Love one another. That devil would love to get up in your emotions and poke the bear. He'll do it with you with the people that you love the most. He'll get you upset and all bent out of shape with the people that you absolutely love the most. Why? Because, see, the devil has come to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If he can steal every bit of peace that you've got, that's what he's after. If he can kill every good part in your life, he's after that. If he can destroy your relationships, your families, your marriages, your jobs, that's what he's after, see? And we have to stop being so complicated. Have you ever noticed, have you ever been watching TV and you're saying, and sometimes I watch preachers on TV, and I like a lot of them. I don't like him as much as I like myself. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But I watch them, and, you know, sometimes I think this is too complicated. We've made Christianity and salvation a numbers game. And we've made it all these type of things that they're not. And we got to wipe some things away and bring it back to some simplicity. Here's the most important thing in life. Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe that he died on the cross for you? Do you believe that he's exactly who he says that he is? Have you asked him into your heart? Do you let him make your decisions? Do you let him have the choice? Because, see, that's the important things in life. And then when we take a step further and we try to live our best life, that best life is loving people the way he loved us. And it's not easy because God loves in a perfect way. Do I have any perfect people in here today? Sister Millie's at home. That's a joke. You guys are very difficult today. I don't really know what to say about you. I'm going to keep reading. So in verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last." Fruit that will last. So what we see here is that he's given us a job. He said, "Hey, you're one that I've appointed. I want you to go and bear fruit, but it's a certain kind of fruit. It's the fruit that's going to last. It's the fruit that's going to last." Now, I was never much of a fruit person until we developed our food ministry. And some of that fruit, it ain't going to last long. Them peaches, they ain't going to last long. When you get them at their prime, you got about a day. You need to get rid of them things. You got to have to give them Brother Larry Baker or somebody. Somebody's going to have to make some jam or some cobbler, or we're going to have a food giveaway that next day. Something's going to have to happen. Now you got your other fruit, and it'll last longer. God's looking for people that are doing what he told them to do, which is go and bear fruit. What is the fruit of your life? You ever see people in the fruit aisle? They're looking at it and they're touching all the fruit. I don't like that, but I don't blame them. I don't want to get nasty fruit either, but do you have to touch it all? But they're inspecting that fruit. God tells us, go bear fruit, but it needs to be the kind of fruit that's going to last. You ever done something, you ever made a big life decision and it didn't go well, didn't last? You ever done something and you thought it was going to last you, didn't last? If we'll let God have those areas of our lives, Miss Dale, and let him choose, he says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." So see, what that tells us is this right here. Some of our choosing is off. You get what I'm saying? Some of the things that we would choose, our choosing meter, it's totally off. We off on it. It needs to be a certain type of fruit, the kind that's going to last. Lasting fruit. And so it says here, "Then the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name, and this is my command. Love each other." Love each other. See, a lot of people, they want to talk to God when they need something. You have those people in your life, you only hear from them when they need something? I don't like that, do you? It's irritating, isn't it? Let me tell you something. Love him as he's loved us. Bear some fruit. Bear the right kind. So Matthew chapter 7, along with this whole bearing fruit business, in verse 15, It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, let me tell you something. Even a child is known by their reputation. How many of you have ever told your kids? I don't know. This may be bad parenting. I don't know. But there have been times where I have told my kids, look, you are not going to be that kid. Any parents ever say that? You are not going to be that kid. They say, what kid? The kid everybody dreads. You're not going to be that. You're not going to be the kid that's doing that. Well, Mama, my friends, their parents, they let them do this, this, and this. I don't care who their parents are, okay? I don't care what they let them do. Amen. I never understood this, certain parts about Jesus, till I became a parent. But how many of you know God is the best parent out there, and he has given us a very good guideline on how to do our parenting. He really has. We used to ask Dad, can we go over to so-and-so's house? You know what his first question was? Gary, do they have brothers? That was the first question. That's a legitimate question. Okay? You feel me? God's given us a lot of instruction if we'll look in his word and we'll say, you know what, God? Open up this understanding and show me exactly how you want me to do life. Because God, somewhere up in here, yesterday, I was so frustrated. I'm sitting here eating this smoothie and this sandwich and nothing's doing it for me. Because you know what? There was just an issue. And it was my issue. And it was my attitude. And I was crying, eating ranch dressing and turkey and all that stuff. And nothing was making it better. Because let me tell you something. Nothing will fill you like his presence. And when you straight up acting like a fool, look here. You better check yourself. Because God ain't called us to be acting up. He said, love people as I've loved you. Forgive them as I've forgiven you. And so, right here it tells us, you'll know them by the fruit that they bear. By the fruit that they bear. When I'm looking at people, and they're going to do a job for me. Look here. Have you ever had somebody do work for you and it was terrible? And you thought, oh, I've done that before. And it was a very bad experience. And here's what I've learned to do. Ask lots of questions. I had a guy come and look at my house for siding. And I said, I want to know some people who's done your site, who you've done their siding. I want to go look at their house. Tell me some people. I want to hear it. How long you been doing this? What's going to happen when I call you and there's a problem? You going to pick that phone up or you going to act like you don't know me? See, inspect fruit. And most importantly, look at the fruit in your life. You ever look around at your last 10 decisions that you've made that were big deals? I have. Alvy, one day I walked into the furniture store, and I said, I want that couch, and that thing over there. Look here. I didn't sit in none of them. Let me tell you, on Saturdays, You're not going to enjoy those elastic pants quite as well if you that couch is too narrow to sprawl out on. You got it? This was in our old house. I was in my 20s then. Before I had kids even. I got up in there on that couch the first day and I was like, I couldn't even blame it on Jeremy because he lets me pick out whatever I want. And I said, I hate this couch. This thing is too narrow. And for like 6 years, I would say, babe, come over here and sit on this couch with me. Let's snuggle. That couch ain't big enough for the both of us. Okay? In the new house, I did another dumb thing. The tides are changing with style. How many of you like the gray tones now? I like the gray tones. I'm out of brown. I'm on to the gray. Well, when I picked out the new couch, I got brown for some reason, Melissa, out of habit. Now I'm looking, and I'm going, I don't like this couch, but I'm stuck with it. You know why? Because it ain't time to get a new one. See, we need to look at some of the fruit of some of our bigger decisions. See, we're talking about houses and couches. What about things that are way more important than a couch? See, when I was about 18 years old, I had brought a guy to church. I brought several of them to church, actually. Look, when I got married, it was truly a miracle. And I knew there was a problem with this guy, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But I figured it out by the time the church service was over. And here's what it was. We were sitting right there in the front row. Dad goes, turn to John chapter blah, blah, blah. He was up in 1 John. Look here. That ain't going to work. There's John. Then you got 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. You got all these Johns. Daddy said John. He's up in 1 John. And he's acting like he's reading what Daddy's reading. He wasn't. Look here. You either want the real thing or you want a pretender and you're going to try to make somebody into something that they ain't never going to be. Amen. See, you either want what God has for you or you're going to settle for something that you're never going to be happy with. Now look here. If I'm stepping on your toes, I'm stepping on your toes. But when it comes to your life, man, your husband better know the difference between John and 1 John. Because if he don't, he ain't going to take you to church like he's telling you he will now. He's lying. You feel me? See, there's a difference. You either want the real thing or you're going to settle because you're up in a panic, in a fever, like God can't do exactly what God said he can do. God will do what he said to do. But will you calm your jets and your hormones enough to let God do it? See, and Daddy goes, Kelly, come back to the office. I thought, oh, God, did he notice he was up in 1 John? That was my thought. You sat down, and I was thinking, oh, we're about to have the 1 John conversation. We didn't. But I'll never forget this conversation. He was up in the back. I was on the other side of the desk. He had his hands on the desk. And he said, Kelly, I'm going to talk to you now. This is a nice enough guy. Nice don't matter. Kelly, this ain't the guy for you. And he began to tell me some things about this guy, and he didn't know that guy from Adam. I'm like, man, you're getting nosy. You need to mind your own business, Dad. I'm 18 and grown. I do what I want. 3 engagements later, I'm still doing what I want. It didn't work out. Can you learn by some instruction? Or do you got to be miserable every day of your life? Instruction's better. It's going to save you some heartache. Going to save you some years. Going to save you some bad fruit. See, you don't got to have bad fruit in your life just because your mama did. You don't got to make the same decisions that other people in your family made. Man, God's calling you to be the very best, and we're settling for some things in our lives. God didn't create that. And he began to tell me some things about this guy, and they all came true. Exactly what he said. And then he said this, Kelly, you will know that you've met your husband, because he's not going to be a wannabe. He'll be. And you're going to know him, Kelly, because he's going to love God more than he ever thought about loving you. I met my husband in June at the Butterfly Festival. I walked up into Arvest Bank, and I saw all these pictures. And I said, boy, they really missing out because they don't got my picture up there. And Jeremy goes, this is the first thing he ever said to me. He said, boy, somebody's full of their self. That was the first words he ever said to me. Look here, he said that many times. But we went to Dairy Delight, and we sat down, and we drank Cherry Dr. Pepper together for like 4 hours. And we began, this is the weirdest thing, but we had some very important conversations on day one. And I said, what are you looking for in your life? And he told me, and he said, I'm just wanting somebody that's going to love God more than they love me. Look here. Love people. Stop settling. Trust God enough to know, man, that God would not give you garbage. God doesn't have second and thirds waiting on you. God's got it. But you're going to have to leave some choices up to him. And when he said, I have appointed you to go and bear fruit that's going to last. What more does he have to say to you? Go bear fruit that's going to last. Some of us, we got our hands up in things. Those things ain't lasting, and we know it, and we still doing it. We still messing with it. See? You all in, or you're not in at all. And so, let's go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 9. And God has dealt with me a whole lot this week just on loving people. Just on loving people. Just on being who you're supposed to be. And so it says here, love must be sincere. It must be sincere. It must be sincere. You ever see somebody in Walmart and you go, how you doing? And you walk past, you don't even let them finish. That's fake. You don't care how they're doing. I've quit asking. Because you ain't going to be the pastor up in Walmart that asks people how they're doing, because they will tell you, and you, when you're a pastor, you got to sit around and hear it. Here's me up in Walmart smiling because I've done lecture dad about 50 million times. You need to smile more. Let's practice smiling. So I'm smiling at Walmart. And if it's sunny, I'm going, isn't this a great day? It's beautiful outside. If it's raining, I'm going, oh, praise God for umbrellas. But I ain't asking no questions that I don't want to hear answers to. You know why? Because I don't want to be fake. If I ask you how you're doing, I want to hear it. And I want to hear the whole thing. So love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hate what's evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope. See, have you lost your hope today? Has things fallen through and you've gotten so discouraged and you don't have any hope left? See, if that's the case, see, God's here to restore you. God's here to renew you. So it says, be joyful in hope and patient in affliction. A lot of people I know right now, they're in the valley of affliction. There's things that's gone on that's been gut-wrenchingly hard. They're facing things that seem so big. Look here, for that person, I tell you, be patient. Be patient. What are we being patient for? God's glory, because it's on the way. When stuff gets hard, are you just throwing your hands up in the air and you're quitting? I was walking up the stairs the other day, and this is what I said, Deborah. How many of you, when it gets hard, when your life gets hard, you feel very lonely? Everybody has a lonely moment. A lot of times when people get lonely, that's when they make their really dumb decisions. I was walking up the stairs, and I just felt that inside of me, and I said, God, I don't have anybody to cry to but you. God, I'm not going to call nobody. God, I ain't going to hash this out with nobody, but God, I'm telling it to you. God, I'm crying about it to you. God, I'm having issues in my life. I'm not going to fill them up with anything other than you. So God, if I need some filling up in some areas, you fill it up. I'm going to wait on you. See, can you be patient in affliction? Can you wait? Can you wait it out? A lot of people, they don't want to wait it out. In years gone by, I've had numerous things done, construction work, work on the church, work on this, work on that. Here's what I've learned. I want the very best one working on this church. If that takes 3 months or 6 months, we're going to wait. Look here, there's people, we waiting on some things, they ain't come about yet. That don't mean they ain't, just means it ain't time. You either going to wait, or you're going to have a knee-jerk reaction, and it's going to cost you. I'd encourage you to wait on God, because when you do, you're not going to be sorry that you did. You ever make a rush decision and you live to regret it a million times over? You ever made a rush decision and it cost you dearly? Just wait it out. Wait it out. Wait it out. There's things that I didn't plan on saying in here today, and I don't know who's needed to hear them. Somebody. I didn't plan about talking about dating. But look here. You looking at the runaway bride here. God done give me a testimony about that subject. Amen. Those of you that know me, you know what we're talking about. And it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Are you faithful in prayer? Are you faithful in prayer? Or is the only time you talk to God is when something's gone wrong? Have you talked to God today? Did you talk to Him yesterday? Did you pray? Have you prayed? Pray over it. Pray through it. Pray on it. Pray. I was telling somebody this week, they said, when I do wrong, I feel like I don't have the right to pray and talk to God. Look here. The Word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. You can't have enough conversation with God. And yet a lot of people, they don't even talk to God on a weekly basis. Talk to God. Tell Him. Tell Him all about your life. And so it says here, share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. You know, week after week, this church spends hours and hours on helping people in need. Why do we do that? Because, see, that's what the Word of God says to do. I've had people say, well, that person don't need that food. Oh, yes, they do. Why? Because God said that they needed it. God said you don't pick and choose this one over that one and this one and that. Look here, you don't play that game because, see, God never played that game with us. I've given food to some real high-class people and come to find out later they was really going through it. See? We don't qualify people. We just go and bear fruit that we're supposed to be bearing that's going to last. God will tell you to do stuff for people and you'll think, that person don't need that. Or they're a happy person. They don't need to hear that they're doing a good job or that it's going to be okay. No. If God put it on your heart, you need to tell it. You need to tell somebody that you love them. If you're down and out, you need to get your phone and you need to get in your contacts and start with A and go down that list and encourage folks. You ever just had a day where you needed somebody to just look at you and tell you it's going to be all right? Sometimes I'm like, Deborah, man, I don't even know what I need. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, you know, Lord, I think all I really needed today was just somebody to say, this is going to be okay. This is going to work out. This is going to be okay. See, the world's full of people that need to hear that. And so it says here, now this is a real handy-dandy one. Bless those who persecute you. There's something up in me that's real gangster. And that's the part of God's Word I don't like to do. If somebody's mean to me, I want to be mean to them back. Okay? And if they do something to my kids, I'm probably going to take their head off. But look here. It's not biblical. It isn't, is it, Lucas? These kids will keep you straightened out. See, look here. Can you bless somebody that's done you wrong? Because that's a necessity. It's a necessity. Why are we talking about this today? I have no idea. I'm just the preacher. When God says preach it, I say okay. Look here. If somebody's hurt you deeply, be good to them. Be good to them. The hardest thing for people to say is I'm sorry. It's the hardest thing for me to say. Is it hard for you to say? There are people in this room that are very good at saying, I'm sorry. I'm not one of them. Dad and I were having a conversation the other day, and we were talking about my stubborn self, And here's what I told them. I said, here's my theory. I'm going to keep myself from doing things that I'm going to have to say I'm sorry for because I don't like to say I'm sorry. So I'm going to try to avoid it altogether. He goes, that don't always work. Why do I tell so much stuff about myself? Because you know what? If pastors would just keep it real, people could get somewhere. Now, Jeremy is sweet as he could be. Precious. I'm meaner than a junkyard dog. I mean, mean. I can get ugly. But look here. God's been dealing with me. Kelly, you got to love people. You got to love them. And you got to be who you're supposed to be. Because people are counting on you being who you're supposed to be. Last place for me this morning, Romans chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 7. Growing up, Haley, there's going to be things that your parents say and they won't make a lick of sense to you until you get older. You have your own kids. That's how life goes. There's things my parents said to me. They still don't make sense. You know why? Because I ain't reached that part of my life where I've matured, I guess. But there's something that they've said, and Aunt Patty, I get it. And it's this right here. Know who you owe. Know who you owe. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Give everyone what you owe him. Give everyone what you owe them. Do you owe somebody honor? Give them honor. Do you owe somebody respect? Give them respect. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. When you wake up in the morning, you need to ask God, who do I owe? Lord, who do I owe? God, help me to give what I owe. Help me to be who I'm supposed to be. When you're who you're supposed to be, what are you doing? You're bearing fruit. What kind of fruit are you going to bear? The kind that's going to last. You can spend a lifetime messing with things that have no meaning and they're never going to go anywhere. You can have relationships. They'll never go anywhere. Or you can spend your time here on earth making every minute count. But it's you that makes that decision. A lot of times I'll pray at this point. Here's how we're ending this. I'm going to let this marinate. I'm going to let it marinate. What does that mean? I'm going to let it sink in. A lot of people in a valley of decision. I'd encourage you to bear fruit that lasts. If you're up in something and you know it ain't lasting, I'd ask you, why are you messing with it? If you have mass amounts of your time messing with something with no meaning, ask God, Lord, how do I fill my time? How do I fill this? Because, see, God put you here not as a paperweight or just a body. He put you here with so much purpose and so much meaning. We have to make it all count. So if y'all would stand to your feet, we're going to pray. Remember, we have lots and lots and lots of goodies back there. Miss Keisha's going to go to the freezer, and there's lots of ice cream. Please take a bunch of it. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for who you are. Lord, right now, God, I thank you, God, that as I've preached your word, that you've opened up understanding. God, I thank you that all week long, this message just marinates in their heart. Lord, I thank you where conviction needed to fall, it's fallen. God, where realization needed to come, God, it's come. So, God, I ask that you'd bless your people. God, protect them. Lord, provide for them. God, and bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.